I appreciate Todd speaking last Wednesday night.
Todd 上星期三晚上讲话。
To be your last Wednesday night.
我上星期计划不来，因为我有肾结石。
Laser it and then take it all.
有镭射把它排出去。
They got two-thirds of that done.
大概三分之二排出去了，剩下的。
Saturday night, Sunday.
星期天晚上，星期天非常疼痛。感谢
他，
上星期三讲到，我也今天发 email 就说我还不错，感觉到好多了，这问题解决了。我在
email
说了，我感谢你祷告，有些人说你给我祷告，感谢你祷告，还有感谢有 morphine 止疼。
We have finished up a
我们上次讲完了一系列亲子教育的，但我们教完的时候，我还不太确定我们要做什么。有几个题目，我想做一下，还有很多星期三晚上的时候，我们就是做几个短的讲座。
One of them I'd like to do is on translations. I know there's some people have some questions about that.But we have some evangelistic meetings coming up the first week of November, and so we have a couple of weeks here where we have just enough time for a 3 or 4 week session on something. And there is a little booklet that I believe, according to my notes, I've actually done this twice in our church. It's called Your Reactions or Show. But of all the things that...I've read. It would probably be in the top 10 of just little booklets that are available. It's about that wide and it's maybe that tall. And it has 25, maybe 35 pages. It's not real hard to read. It is not available anymore. I've tried to order them. You can actually go online, and I would encourage you to do this. You go online and...put your reactions are showing and look for a PDF, you can get it open source now. And I'm assuming that it's not copyrighted, it's out there all over the place. You can get the material. But I read through that probably every 2 years because it is one of the most helpful studies that I've ever done personally, just in dealing with people. And I do this on the heels of talking about parents because, or talking to parents because,we often find ourselves reacting to things. When we think about actions and reactions, by the way, you can set your Bible aside for just a second. I've done this before, but we're going to come to the Mark chapter 7 in 10-15 minutes. So it'll be a couple of minutes before we get there. But when we talk about your reactions showing, there are a couple of things that you have to realize. There are actions...And their reactions. And we spend a lot of time when we study Scripture talking about right actions. And so that would be, you know, things that you are to do or not do, things you would do as far as service for the Lord, and you act, you plan these things out. And the truth is that people who sometimes would have good actions may struggle with reactions. Let me kind of give you an idea of what I mean by that. And in order, and the whole purpose of this is that there's a blueprint for this battle. What I want to do in the next couple of weeks is I want you to think, okay, how am I going to do this? Because I don't know that anybody's going to be able to stand up and say, I'm immune to this.To reactions. Anybody immune to reactions? You pretty much have to be dead to do that. And then there would be some people, and you probably shouldn't raise your hand to this, who would say, my reactions are my major problem. Yeah, that's me. I mean, there's somebody who would say, that's just me. I react. That's what gets me in trouble.And when you think about it, it is not necessarily your actions that are causing a problem. That's because actions are planned. So I'm at home and I decide, okay, I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to go teach a Sunday school class. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to sing. I'm going to do this. And I plan that out. And there are people who are very good planners and they're very skilled at just getting things set up. But reactions are in a very different category. And tonight, in order to keep you involved, I've got some blanks. And so you're my class tonight. You have to fill in some blanks. If we would say that actions are planned, what would we say about reactions?
计划好的，那你的反应是什么？
Unexpected. They're unexpected. All right. Good word. What other word?
始料不及的。
Unplanned. Yeah, we put unplanned in there. Anything? Any other plans?
还有其他。
Aaron? Spontaneous. Okay. That's actually the word that I had in there.
就是。
Is spontaneous. But any of those words are correct. Reactions or actions, we get to think about this. How am I going to act? What am I going to do? And some people plan to do wrong. They really do. They set a course that is taking them in the wrong direction, and they are making step by step wrong decisions. That is a major issue. And the Bible deals with that a lot. Reactions, on the other hand, are spontaneous.You do not get the luxury of saying, okay, hold on just a minute. Let me think about how I'm going to react to this fist that's coming at me. What am I going to do about this? You have to spontaneously react. It is unplanned. It is forced upon you. It is a necessity that you are going to have to respond in some fashion. But those reactions are very instructive.Let me try to take you for where we want to go tonight. There are two things that I want you to leave with. Let me give you some examples. I've used these before, and I think they're still as appropriate as we could ever come up with. Let's take, for example, the nursery or a playpen. Are you still allowed to use playpens now? They're not what? No, they're really small then. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, you had these playpens that they were about the width of this aisle and kind of, you know, they were a nice big square thing and
这么小的
what I do? There we go. And you would take your kids and you'd throw a bucket of toys in there and throw the kid in there and, you know, they were pretty happy. You know, so if you got the right toys, you had respite of, you know, 30 minutes, half an hour. If your kid was really good, you might get an hour. 30 minutes, half an hour. Might be some lingering drug effects there, but you had some time. And you could put this child in this playpen. They were wonderful. I could just imagine now that somebody would say that's like prison or there's something that would psychologically damage a child if you did that, but it worked for me, and there ain't nothing wrong with me. So you take a child and you put him in the playpen and you put the toys in there and you have a child that's pretty content and so for 10-15 minutes they play really well. What could you do that would really stir things up inside the playpen? Valerie got it right away. What was it, Valerie? Yeah. Put another child in. We see this in the nursery every once in a while. I have a nursery worker tell me that, you know, there's this child who's in there and he's got the run of the nursery. You know, he's playing with it and all of a sudden he looks over and child A is playing with the train. And he's never played with the train before, but what's he want to play with now? The train. And so he goes and he takes the train from child A. And how does child A react? Oh, my friend, you go ahead and play with that.
他会说什么？哦，你可以玩。
There is a natural response. And a nursery worker may have to step in. Because at that point we see in that young person this reaction that is showing what's going on inside. I've not gotten my way. Now, you can argue with Justin, you could have taken it, but you see the reactions. And right away, when you have people who have to respond to other people, you have an example of reactions. Let's put it on a more adult level. Driving. You have somebody that's driving down... We got to go to a different road. Maybe 68 up through Maryland or down 79 through West Virginia. And there's no traffic and it's kind of a nice leisurely ride down through there. And every once in a while, you know, somebody goes by with a Jeep with no license plate on it and everything. But you're just enjoying the drive. But then you get that person into maybe on 81 or 95. And there are plenty of cars Does that person ever change their demeanor?
Ever
ridden with anybody that you really get nervous at that point? They're hollering at other people and they're weaving in and out and they're just, they make you really nervous. But here's somebody that's reacting to what's going on around them. And they can react in good ways or bad ways and can really throw some people off. But that's what happens. Our reactions are spontaneous. I have to immediately decide how am I going to react to this situation that I find myself out. And so as we think about that, we want to look at some of the basic factors that are involved in understanding how do we control our reactions, because those get us into a lot of trouble, and those are the things that really can cause more problems than actions. And I think all of us could give examples of times when we've reacted to a circumstance and that's created more problems than the action itself. And so we're going to have to learn a couple of things. Here's the first thing tonight. You are going to be treated in unchristian ways. You are going to be treated in unchristian ways. Now, let me give you some supporting documentation of that. We have a couple of verses up here. Can I get somebody to look up 1 John 3:13 for me? Somebody get that one? All right, Charles. And John 15:18. John 15:18. Can someone read that for us? Okay, Darcy? All right, so 1 John 3:13 and then John 15:18. So 1 John 3:13, Charles? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The idea of marvel not is, don't be surprised at that, if the world hates you. This is 1 John, and he is talking to Christians, to believers, and he is encouraging them. The book we're going through on Sunday morning, he's encouraging them, keep up with what you're doing in your Christian life and be faithful to the Lord, love the brethren, and be don't be worldly. And he says, guys, don't be amazed when the world hates you. Now that's counterintuitive. What are we doing wrong? I'm trying to be nice to people. I'm trying to have good character. I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to be diplomatic. I'm trying to love the people that are around me. What is it about that that is causing people to hate us? Marvel not if the world hates you. Well, let's go back to the gospel, and I've gone to this one second on purpose because we'll use it. It gives us a better illustration of it. Darcy, John 15:18.
约翰福音十五章十八节，世人若恨你们，你们知道，恨你们已先已经恨我了。
If the world hate you, you know, if the world hated me before it hated you, who's speaking that?
这是谁说的话？
Christ is speaking that.
这是耶稣。
So here is Jesus Christ, John 15. This is his prayer for his disciples, or actually it's his vine and the branch, and he's talking about their interaction with the world. He says, now, guys, look, if the world hated me, they're going to hate you. So, you're going to have to recognize that. But here's, again, the thing that we would ask about that. What is it that Christ did that caused people to hate him so much? When you start listing his characteristics, here's a man who the scripture says never sinned, and he healed people, multitudes of people, went around intentionally doing good, he counseled people, he sought to do the Father's will, yet here's this one who is doing everything that God wanted him to do, and he's living up to all of the expectations of God himself. He's God in human flesh. And yet, he says to his disciples, guys, if the world hate you, just remember this. You know that it hated me before it hated you. Well, there is a reason that he uses himself as that example. What were the criticisms of Christ? What was it that they had to hate him for? Why did the world hate him? What were their complaints about Christ? Lois?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. I think somebody else started to answer. Mark? Yeah. They didn't like the fact that he claimed to be equal with God. Kathy?
Okay.
Yeah. What else? Did, Shaker? Shaker? Yeah. He said that they were sinners. And so he pointed out their sin. Anything else? What were their criticisms of him? Todd? Yeah, he worked on Sunday. Yeah. He broke the Sabbath. And so they complained about that. But here is a man who clearly his intent is to do good. And there is nothing that he ever is convicted of sin. He is a sinless one. He is kind. He's gentle. He's hard when he needs to be. But he does so much for other people. Yet he says, folks, if they hate you, remember they hated me before they hated you. And so if you become more Christ-like, what should you expect? Or hatred. Because Christ's end was crucifixion by a world who couldn't stand his purity among them, and so they hated him as a result of that. And so the more Christ-like a Christian becomes, the more chance you have of becoming hated. Now, let's put another blank up here. Let's draw a little sub-conclusion to that. You are spiritually unprepared if you are blank by unchristian behavior. What would you put in there? Okay, influence. Okay. Surprised. Who said that? Okay, Todd. Yeah. Surprised. Eric? Offended. Yeah. All those are great words. Anything else? Those are all good. Good. I'm trying to see lips moving and I can't find them. Casey? Swayed, okay. If you're swayed by unchristian behavior, okay. All right, Todd? Angered would be a good word. Yeah. Yeah, we can put a lot of words in here. For what I'm doing, I'm going to put the word shock. You are spiritually unprepared if you are shocked by unchristian behavior. Now, do you see how this begins to build a base for what we're talking about? Your reactions are showing. We often approach our Christian lives backwards. We approach it thinking, the more Christ-like I become, the more people are going to like me. The more the unsaved world is going to really appreciate me. The more those even who are Christians that may not even live for the Lord real well, but they're just really going to appreciate my sincerity for Christ and my passion for Him. And we approach life backwards. We approach it thinking, the more Christ-like I become, the more I'll be liked, the fewer problems I have. Is that what we're learning from Scripture? Not at all. As a matter of fact, historically through the Bible, those who were living for the Lord, the preponderance of them are often facing persecution, they're facing imprisonment, they're often facing difficulties because of their godliness. And so when he says here in Scripture, you know, guys, if they hate you, don't get too concerned about that, because remember, they hated me long before they hated you. And if you're following in my footsteps, that's where we're going to find ourselves. Now let's put something else up here. Most of Christ's ill treatment came from ... I could have put a blank in there. But how would you finish this statement? Most of Christ's ill treatment came from. What comes to your mind? Ruth? There you go. Religious people. All right. You might think of some other things you'd put in there, but she got what I was looking for here. When you go through the Scripture and the Gospel specifically, and you start asking, who were Christ's greatest enemies? It wasn't really the Roman government. Now, they didn't like him all that well, but they were incited by religious people. they were, the religious people were offended, and so they went to the Roman government and complained. They dragged him before the Roman courts, and they said, guys, this is not our problem. You deal with it. Yeah, but we can't kill him. Well, you do whatever you need to. But they didn't really have that big a problem with Christ. It was the religious crowd that really had an issue with Christ. And again, we can go back to the question, what was their criticism of him? And if you boil it down, it was that he was pure in his doctrine and pure in his love. They had this hypocrisy. They had this externalism. They had no relationship with God. They were doing things because it was rote. It was do this, do this, do this. But it wasn't out of a heartfelt relationship. And so when Christ came, he basically showed them up. He basically showed them that they were not what they were supposed to be. And so the result was most of Christ's ill-treatment in the Gospels comes from religious people. They're the ones that are constantly after him. They're the ones who are making accusations against him. They're the ones who are trying to drive him out of town and dissuade people from following him. These were religious people. Now, when you read through that little book, your reactions are showing. I wish he had made this a little clearer. He calls those Christian people, and he's a little mixed up in the book because you didn't really have Christian, non-Christian at that point. Those people never did accept Christ, but they were religious people. These are people who claim to have some kind of religion, yet they don't know God at all. It is clear when Christ talks to them, he has his harshest words for these hypocritical religious leaders. I mean, he's very harsh to those people because they're deceptive. There are, however, however, the possibility that Christians would be unkind to other Christians. Maybe? What happens when a Christian is unkind to another Christian? Let me narrow that down a little bit. Why would one Christian be unkind to another Christian? A jealousy? Yeah. What was it? Doctrine?
是教义, 还有,
judgmental?
Mm-hmm. 审判?
Yeah. Sheba? Yeah. Who's better? I'm trying to get the upper hand. You can make a long list there of reasons that Christians end up being unkind to other Christians. But they can be selfish, unkind, critical. You ever met any Christians that are just critical? Maybe some in here. But you can just find people who are very critical, resentful, dishonest.
Quarrelsome.
You can find Christians who are just not right with God. And sometimes we find other Christians who make life hard for fellow brethren. And so when we look at this whole idea, we have to recognize that we need to really have a plan to react. And this, I believe, is the foundation of why we often do not handle our reactions correctly, is because in our minds we're thinking, if I am more godly, more Christ-like, I'm going to have fewer problems, and I'm going to have less that I'm going to have to react to, when in reality, if I take, number one, the high road among the unsaved, in the unsaved world, I may find sometimes they have more respect than some saved friends who are not right with God, yet at the same time, they're not really going to appreciate what we're doing. When we take a stand against immorality, when we take a stand against abortion, when we take a stand against homosexual marriages, when we take a stand against things that are common in society, culture in general is not going to like us. And you should expect that. And we understand that. That is not going to endear us to them. They're not going to appreciate where we stand, why we stand there, and how we do it. That's just the way it is. It's also true, though, in the Christian realm, that there will be conflicts, even within good churches. You will have instances where you have to think about, how am I going to react to somebody who is not spiritually as mature as they ought to be? And I will tell you that as you mature spiritually, you're going to need to know this more, not less. So here's Aaron, sitting in the back, not in her assigned pew up here, but you know, we'll get over it. Aaron's been saved for 17, 18 years, or longer than that, somewhere around there. If she begins to take more of a leadership role, as she begins to take more of a leadership role, and as someone grows spiritually and becomes somebody who is willing to go to others and say, you know, the Lord has really impressed on my heart, here's something that you might want to really pray about in your life, and you even confront them about sin, or you're in a leadership position. Sometimes Christians are vitriolic. They're vicious, and you know they're not happy with you trying to help them grow. You trying to keep them out of sinful situations. How are you going to react to that? You're going to have to be prepared for that. And if you have not planned, then you have planned to react poorly. And so have you planned to react properly? Have you thought this through, that in the world that we live in, the more Christ-like you become, the more of a target you become in this area of reactions? And so we come back to this first statement. You have to recognize first and foremost that you are going to be treated in unchristian ways. This is just a fact of Christianity. It's a fact of life. If you can erase the unchristian, quote, treatment of Christ, the persecution of Christ, you can erase it from your life. But as long as Christ was not loved by the world, you're probably not going to be loved by the world either. We may have times of respite. I believe we live in one of them, although Oregon may prove that to be different, because people who were Christians were an object of persecution at that point. But you have to get ready for the fact, you have to be aware of the fact that you're going to be treated in unchristian ways. Let's put a second thing up here. Your reactions reveal your true nature. Now, I would ask you, when we finish the first one, you know, do you expect poor treatment from people? And that's even a hard question to ask. You know, do you expect poor treatment from people? You should. And if you expect poor treatment from people, then when you get better treatment, it's a bonus. You know that you think, oh, this is great. And then are you prepared to react the way that God wants you to react? But here's the second truth that you're going to have to get, and that is that your reactions reveal your true nature. You will find that when things are pleasant and favorable, it's pretty easy to react the right way. But as things get more difficult, reactions get more difficult to control. And so your actions actually reveal your true nature. Now, let me warn you on this. There are a number of people in here who have gone through the book Changed Into His Image. A couple of them still going through it. But there's something I've always enjoyed. As he gets to the end of the first or second chapter, the author in that book says, now don't stop reading. And he does that because the first couple of chapters of that book, he paints a really ugly picture of man. It's a biblical picture, but it's an ugly picture. And it's so depressing, distressing, that you almost say, I can't win, I want to quit. And he says, please don't stop reading, because I can give you help. But you have to understand what the problem is first. Well, this is kind of like this today. What we have to end on today is kind of an ugly picture of ourselves. Your reactions reveal your true nature. Jeremiah 17:9. Does anybody know that verse off the top of your head? There you go. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know? Yeah. King James Version is just a straight out, the heart is deceitful. You can't trust your heart, it will deceive you. Your heart is desperately wicked. When he says, who can know it, it's the idea of who can understand it. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Jeremiah concluded, my heart is not trustworthy. And one of the mistakes people make is they say, I'm just going to do what my heart says. Oh, be careful about that, because your heart is not always trustworthy. A heart that is wanting its own way will get you into big trouble. And you'll find that you are a self-centered person for the most part. And so you need biblical guidance to make decisions. As you move on, what you have to conclude is that by and large, a Christian is as self-centered as anyone else. The only advantage he has is the Holy Spirit has freed him from the bondage to sin, and now he has the freedom to live for Christ. But I have to recognize that in the core of who I am, my flesh, I am a self-centered person, and I really want my own way. Now, I'll acknowledge that. Would anybody else in here acknowledge that? I've got two or three. Phew. Okay. I have to acknowledge. I am basically a self-centered person, and I really like to get my own way. And if that's going to change, then I'm going to have to be really careful not to let my heart control. I'm going to have to make conscious decisions about how and why I'm doing things. Somebody will come up to me once in a while, or you'll hear somebody say, you know, it's really not like me to act that way. Something has happened and they've just really shown themselves. Or they might say to you, you know, don't judge me by that isolated incident.
So, can we do that? All
right. Our initial response is, well, you know, okay. You know, and I've said that to people before. You know, this person was not being themselves. And, you know, you probably need to let that go. And this is really out of character for them. And we know what we mean by that. But maybe the truth is the opposite. What would the opposite of that be?
不正常的才是真相, 真,
what?
不同的是什么呢?
We all are really like that.
我们其实都是这样,
and apart from the fact that there are times when I have planned to react correctly, I am like that. And it's only by God's grace that I don't react like that every time I don't get my way. Every time somebody takes my toy in the playpen. We're just adults. The truth is that these isolated incidences that we go through once in a while simply remind us of what our heart is like. But if I don't have some kind of external control on that, it is going to run away with me. Let me give you an illustration here. I couldn't remember where I wanted to do this. There's a tea bag illustration that is used, same book, The Change Into His Image. It's a little different, but if you take a tea bag and you put it in the boiling water, what color does the water turn? The color of the tea. It used to be we'd say brown, but now there's so many colors of tea that you can do pink, blue, green, or whatever. But whatever color the tea is. What if you pulled the tea bag out and said, oh man, I'm not normally that color?
你说, 哦, 我不喜欢这个颜色,
what would you say to the tea bag?
你会对茶包说什么?
Yeah, you are. But how do we know that?
就是这个颜色,
we drop you in hot water.
你把它放到热水里,
we saw what comes
把它,
out.
看到它出来是什么颜色,
take a lemon and you squeeze the juice.
你把柠檬,
you get that juice and you take a big swig of that juice. What do you do?
晃一晃你就会酸的,
the lemon looks at you and says, oh man, don't judge me by this one. I'm usually sweet. They, no, we found out what's inside you. And really, that's what happens. When we find ourselves reacting to circumstances, and all of us do this, we find ourselves in hot water, we find ourselves being squeezed, and what comes out is what's inside. It is what's truly there. Had you turned to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 20. The Lord is giving us some counsel here, and he's giving us a little bit of an understanding of anthropology, as we looked at it when we talked about parenting. What are people really like? Mark chapter 7, verse 20. It says, Jesus said, that which comes out of a man, that defiles the man. For from within, or from inside, out of the heart of man proceed, listen to this list, evil thoughts, adultery, fornication,
murders,
奸淫,
thefts, 贪婪,
邪恶,
诡诈,
wickedness,
淫荡,
deceit,
忌讳,
lasciviousness,
诽谤,
an
骄傲,
evil eye,
狂傲,
blasphemy,
这一切恶,
pride, foolishness,
出来,
all these evil things come from where?
Yeah,
from within, from inside. and defile the man.
却能, 污秽人,
the problem is inside
you.
And the very first thing that I have to recognize is that if I'm going to react correctly, it is not that I have to change what's outside. That's normally how we think about it. I told you in the first one that we had wrong thinking because we tend to think the more Christ-like I become, the fewer problems I'll have. Well, when we look at Christ, he had more problems the longer he went on. And he said, guys, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me before it hated you. And he says, so don't marvel, don't be amazed when the world hates you, because that's the way it goes when you're really trying to be Christ-like, trying to be godly. You're going to offend unsaved people. You will offend some saved people by living a godly life. And so he said, wrong thinking would be, if I'm really right with God, I'm not going to have any problems. That would be wrong thinking. Well, here's wrong thinking. The wrong thinking is, I just need to get the people around me to change. And if they would change, I would be so much better. You see how that's wrong thinking? It doesn't change what's inside you.
Well,
the Bible is teaching us this, that inside us are these things. And if we're put in the right circumstances or wrong circumstances, however you'd like to phrase it, those things can come out. Some of you have grown up in circumstances that have been ugly. We've had people that have come from really bad backgrounds that have gotten saved. And I know that there have been people that grew up and their language was really bad. And one of the things they struggle with is when they get in a really high-pressure situation, what happens?
Yeah.
It just rolls out.
Well,
why?
So
it's in there.
Yeah.
Now, I understand the struggle.
I
grew up going to public school. And you get habitually hearing that, and it can be a real problem. But what Christ was saying to us is, folks, understand that what you need to change is not your outward circumstance. That's not what's going to have to change. We're going to have to work on the inside. We're going to have to come to the place where we're truly honest about what's going on. If you're one who reacts to other people and you find yourself exploding and just really hard to get along with and creating tense situations, personal honesty demands that you admit who you are. Not looking at everybody around you and saying, boy, if these people would change. It's you that has to change. And you can go back to Christ himself and you can ask, you know, did Christ need to change the people around him? Well, certainly the people around him needed to change. But his reaction was always one that glorified God in spite of the people around him. And as we go forward in this, we're going to see another huge example of how this is critical that you learn how to understand what's going on inside you and not let other people control you. And so, you've got to stop blaming other people. Here's the main thing that we come to as drawing this to a conclusion. I cannot sit here and say, it's your fault that I reacted wrongly. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances around you that are unjust and wrong and cruel and heartless. I'm not at all saying that. What I am saying is that if you react to those things in such a way that it creates more problems in your life, you have the problem. If you're not reacting in a godly fashion, you're wrong. And that's all there is to it. And so we come back to the fact that it's our reactions that are going to get us in trouble, and we're looking for that blueprint. Okay, what do I do? I find myself in these pressure situations, and I'm going to willingly say, okay, I know that I have to, number one, expect these situations, and number two, what's inside, if it comes out, I'm in big trouble. I really am. How do I stop it? Well, the thing you're going to have to do is not get in that this week, because I'm not going to give you the answer till next week. So, you're not going to know. But acknowledging that is going to take you a huge step toward getting there. Because if you will expect that things are going to go badly, and you'll recognize the problem is in you, boy, that helps. When I went in to have the kidney stone taken out on Tuesday, The doctor did as they always do. They come in and they tell you worst case scenario. And what's the end result of every worst case scenario? You may die. No, crushing the kidney stone, but you may die. That's just, so I kind of just sit there and shake my head and say, okay, well, that's okay. There won't be any kidney stones in heaven. But he goes through all the things that are expected to happen. And so when I went home, I didn't expect to walk out of the hospital and jump and run and leap and go out and mow my yard and just for days just be wonderful. I expected it was going to be a couple of days. I just didn't feel real well. He told me what to expect. God does that for you. But many of us have missed that message. We're expecting that life is going to be really easy and really good, and so when we get into that bad situation, our reaction is wrong. And the reaction is wrong because we're not planning on it. And that's our fault. God is honest with us. We have to listen to what he says, and we have to prepare for what he's already told us is coming. And if we'll do that, then we can begin to get control of the reaction in the sense that other people are actually controlling us. All right, we're going to stop there this evening. We're going to go ahead and pray, and we'll pass out a prayer sheet. And if you have any questions, we'll get those, and I'll give you a little idea of what we'll talk about next week as well.